The songs have been such a blessing this morning, haven't they? It is such a blessing to be able to come into the Lord's house and to be singing praises to Him, because we actually serve a risen Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the great thing about it is the fact that it's not just about a king, but it's about a king, and it's about a love story, and one king that actually loves us with all of his heart. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Malachi. Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. And we're actually going to take, this is a phenomenal passage dealing with so much that would be so applicable today, but I'm just going to deal with just one particular verse. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15. If you would stand with me in honor and recognition of the Lord and about His word, as I read aloud, I'd like for you to read along with me silently, Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15. The word of the Lord says, "But did He not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Precious Lord, Lord, I love you. Thank you so much for your great love toward us. Thank you, Lord God, how you have done all things so perfectly and so amazingly. But Lord, we are so broken. We are so broken. We are so broken. Oh Lord, I pray with all my heart, Lord God, this morning, that you would be lifted up, that you would be seen in all of your glory and grace. Lord, I pray that you would guide in every word that is spoken. I pray that you would open our eyes, Lord, open our eyes and our heart, Lord God, that we would see and know you, that you would be glorified. In thy name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So this morning, I actually, in the midst of, in fact, this is actually Memorial Day weekend, if you haven't already figured that out. Someone shared with me this morning, they pulled into the parking lot and saw so few cars and had to question themselves, did I show up on the right day? It is Memorial Day weekend, but I've got a couple of questions to ask this morning. As you get to know me a little bit better, there was one question that my parents were never able to beat out of me, and that was why. So I've actually got two why questions this morning. So why do we have Memorial Day? Why do we have Memorial Day? Why is it that we have it? So, you know, there's a lot of answers that you may hear. One of the big answers that a lot of people will go in and say is, hey, Memorial Day is the beginning of summer. And everybody can say amen, at least among the students. So it is the beginning of summer, and that is true. For those of us that are working on regular schedules, you know, it also means the possibility of a three-day weekend, and everyone would say amen. That is a blessing. That is true. But it is so much more. It is so much more. Memorial Day is literally, it is that which has been put in place to remind us. In fact, just stop back for a second. What does it mean to have a memorial? Why? What does the word memorial mean? It means something that is done, something that is set in place to remind us of a person or of an event. It's a memorial, something to bring back to our remembrance, a person or an event. So Memorial Day is about bringing to remembrance. In fact, ever since basically, I believe it was back to 1868, to remember those that have died in service of our country, those that have died in service of our country and defending the freedoms of our country, defending our nation. So it means so much more. So the second question I have, why do we then have marriage? Why do we then have marriage? And it's interesting, you do have a lot of things, a lot of responses that people will give today. For those who think that marriage is anything, they'll go in and say, well, you know, marriage is, it's God's perfect design for our sexual expression. Is that's the context in which we would do that. In fact, it was actually marriage. Sexuality is the act of marriage, according to the scripture. So and that would be true. And then some would say, well, marriage is God's perfect design for children and raising children and families. And that is also true. But it is so much more. It is so much more. Marriage is ultimately a memorial to the Lord. God created marriage to be a memorial to Him, His character, His person. And in fact, we're going to be touching just on Malachi 2:15, but I want you to see something that's kind of fascinating. If you take this entire passage, take a look at Malachi chapter 2, verse 11, the latter portion of the verse. When God is speaking to the children of Israel, He says literally the latter portion of the verse that the Lord loves the institution of marriage. He loves marriage. He created marriage. In fact, it's fascinating. We'll touch on this just briefly, that God not only loves marriage, but it's the first institution that He created, period. He, all the way back in Genesis chapter 2. And the amazing thing is, not only is it something that He has created, He has loves, but He also protects. It's interesting that literally, God, when He created marriage, He also put around it these protections in the law, so that, in fact, there's very few things in the law of God that actually required capital punishment, but adultery was one of those things. So He protects it. So why? Why is it so important? We'll see this morning that it literally, marriage was created as a memorial unto the Lord to see Him. And I want you to see in three particular areas that God created marriage as a memorial of the Lord, as to show forth who He is in His creation, to be a memorial of His creation, to be a memorial of His character, and to be a memorial in all of His children, and for what He's going to be doing for His children. He loves marriage. He has created it as a memorial in His creation. Let's take a look back in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15. One of the first things that I want you to see is He literally created marriage as a memorial in His creation of it. Take a look at the first portion of the verse there. He says, did He not make them one? Did He not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? One of the first things that marriage does, that God created marriage to do, was to constantly be a reminder that we were created by Him. That we are created by Him. And we're going to see in just a minute, the very idea of marriage is literally in the context. It is literally fundamental to creation. It is literally the created order. Take a look there. He says, did He not make them one? God created marriage so that every time that we looked at marriage, through the Lord's eyes, every time we looked at marriage, He created it to be a memorial to constantly remind us that we're created in His image. To constantly remind us that we're created in His image and we are created His workmanship, His work of love. We are created in His image, His workmanship, His work of love. He so loved us. He created us. And marriage was created. Marriage was set forth as a memorial to show forth that creation, remembering that we are His loved creation. We are not an accident. God created marriage to be a memorial to understand that we are not an accident. We are not something that was just, you know, thought up by the mind of man. Marriage was not thought up by the mind of man. It was not created in the mind of man. It is not some kind of a cultural construct. It is not some of an outmoded idea. The rules didn't come out of man's heart and mind. The picture of marriage was literally straight from God. It is a memorial of God. It comes directly out of his creation. So let me just stop and let me, one of the things the Lord wants for us to be able to see in the picture of marriage that he painted was that it is a beautiful picture. It's a picture of love. It's a picture of grace. It's a picture of truth. Now let me just stop and say this here. There will be many that may be listening to me this morning and say, okay, well, that's great. You're saying that marriage is a memorial unto the Lord. It's a picture of his love and his kindness. It's a picture of the creation. We'll see more of that. It's a picture of his loving work of art in us. But that's not been my experience. It's true. What has happened in this world ever since Genesis chapter 3, and it didn't just happen, that's been a while, okay? Satan has sought to destroy this picture. Satan has sought to actually turn this picture upside down, to make it a picture of abuse, to make it a picture of oppression, to make it a picture of oppression and brokenness. But that was not how God created it to be. God created it to be a memorial, and it's a memorial unto him. It's a picture of his creation and his care. In fact, if you hold your place there, not only is it a picture of his creation, remembering that we're his loved creation, but remembering it is a picture that we were created one in him, one in him. In fact, you can hold your place there and turn back over to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. This is actually the defining passage that anybody ever asks, what is marriage? This is where marriage is actually defined. In Genesis chapter 2, and pick up there at verse 24. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24 says this: therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's the definition of marriage between a man and a woman, and there is that cleaving, that oneness. Now the interesting thing though is when we take a look, so the question is, so why did God create it that way? Well, it's interesting. If you take a look at this passage, what's the first word in verse 24? Therefore. Anybody know what therefore means? Anytime you see a therefore, you should always go in and look why it's therefore, right? So that means that there's something that's happened ahead of time that explains why God is saying verse 24. Well, to understand verse 24, and we're not going to go through all of this, verses 18 through 23 explains what's going on here. In verses 18 through 23, the Lord actually goes through and explains how he came to the point of bringing this woman to the man. Take a look here, verses 18 through 23. Says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. So literally he says, it's not good, it's not godly that he should be independent. He says, I'm going to make a helper comparable to him, one that is going to be his enabler, his helper, one that's going to be of his own self. So he says, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Now, by the way, God has already created Adam. You take a look in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 7, you see what God had already created Adam, and having created Adam, had breathed into Adam a living spirit. He literally created man in his own image, after his own likeness, and then gave Adam, breathed into Adam, a living spirit. So he's bringing to Adam all these animals, asking Adam to name them. By the way, what he's doing for Adam, he's bringing Adam to the point that Adam recognizes he needs someone. Because all of these animals come, and God's bringing all the animals. So here's Mr. and Mrs. Giraffe. Here's Mr. and Mrs. Zebra. Here's Mr. and Mrs. You get the idea. So he's going in, he's introducing Adam to all these. Adam's naming all the animals. And after a while, Adam then goes in and take a look there. Verse 20, and Adam gave name to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. So Adam, basically, the Lord has brought Adam to the point of recognition. Guess what? You're missing something. By the way, guys have always been a little slow to pick that up sometimes. Some may agree. So verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. By the way, that's the reason there is man and woman. Literally, woman is taken out of man. And he brought her to the man, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So the reason why we have marriage is because God created them one. He created them one, Adam. He took Eve out of Adam. By the way, the ultimate matchmaker, he takes Eve out of Adam, then he brings Eve to Adam, he introduces them, and then he officiates in the first wedding ceremony. Okay? And he says, you know, do you take? And yes, I do, absolutely. Okay? So, but the reason why, listen to the verse now, therefore, because they were created one, but the woman was taken out of the man, but now the man was to cleave to the other because she is a part of him. You get the picture here? Because she is a part of him and he is a part of her in the Lord. By the way, you notice there's in the Lord, because it is because of their relationship to the Lord that there is that oneness. They're both submitted to the Lord. Unfortunately, that's going to change in the next chapter, and that's where the entire picture starts to break down. But when God created it, he created it. He created it to be a reflection of oneness. In fact, there's so much I could go into here. We don't have the time, but where it says there, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Literally, the idea is cleaving. The idea is abiding with her. The picture is that literally the husband so is to so desire after his wife that he is more concerned for her than himself. He is totally submitted to her in the Lord. In fact, the scripture talks about this later. It says that literally the husband is to see after his wife as his own body. Do you see where that comes from? Because Eve was his own body. Do you get the picture? That oneness that's there? That's that picture. That's the reason there is marriage. There is marriage because it is a picture of God's creation. It's a picture of the fact that God created us, his workmanship. It's a picture of oneness. It's a picture of the fact that literally we were created male and female in the Lord. The interesting thing is, take a look back over in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, but did he not make them one? He did. He made them one. He made them one in Adam. They were taken out of Adam. When Adam saw Eve, he says, ah, now this one is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. There is that oneness that is there. He said, she is the one that was made like me. And there is this idea of other, that other is more important. I want to see here, he says, not only did he make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit. They literally were of the same Spirit. When God breathed into Adam, he gave Adam a living spirit. When he created Eve, he gave Eve that remnant of that spirit. So guess what? Not only are they made of the same bone, they're made of the same flesh, they're also made of the same Spirit. Do you start to get the picture here? There is that oneness. Now, by the way, let me just stop right there. Does that sound like what many picture marriage to be today? No. Unfortunately, no. But that was the way God created it to be. It was created to be that picture of that oneness. And it was created to be that picture of that oneness. It's a memorial of his creation, but it's also a memorial of his character. It's a memorial of his character. Take a look there, the second portion there. He's saying, and why one? The Lord says, and why one? Well, guess what? That is how God is. We were created in his image, after his likeness. Stop and think about this. Who is God? What is God like? He's a triunity, isn't he? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Son is constantly seeking after, passionately abiding in, submitting to the Father. God the Holy Spirit is constantly pointing to, passionately seeking after, and abiding in the Son. And the Father is constantly seeking after, glorifying the Son. Do you get the picture here? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your might. God is one. He is that picture. So when he gives us marriage, he gives it as a memorial of who he is, his character, how he is, who he is. By the way, that's the reason he takes it extremely personally when we try to redefine marriage. God created marriage to be a reflection of him, his person, and his character. His person and his character, passionately abiding. In fact, it's interesting, this picture of cleaving to one another because of that oneness, because of that submission, this is the same picture that Jesus paints again and again throughout the Gospels. That's the reason he says over in John chapter 15, listen to the words, the same words he says, abide in me and I in you. Without me, you can do nothing. It is the idea of oneness. In John chapter 17 in verse 11, Jesus says when he's praying for us, he says, I pray that they may be one even as we are one, talking about he and the Father. It is his heart's desire that we be one with him, that we be surrendered to him, that he might bless us, care for us. That's what we were created for. And when God created marriage, he created marriage to literally be a reflection of that oneness, a reflection of that surrender, a reflection of that submission, a reflection of that passionate, abiding, seeking after, surrendering to the other more than self. There's a whole list of things we could go through that literally it's a memorial to his character. Marriage is a memorial to selfless love. Selfless love. It's not about me, but it's about the other. It's about my Lord. It's about the other. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's a picture of selfless love. It's a picture of passionate cleaving and abiding with each other. It is a picture of submission. That same picture. What did Jesus constantly say? Jesus said, not my will, but the Father's will be done. Jesus, being God, was constantly in submission to the Father. Not out of just some sort of duty, but out of passionate love for the Father. The Spirit is never at a point where he's at variance with the Son. He's literally passionately pursuing, enabling the Son. That's the picture of his character. It's also amazing. It's a picture of his character as co-laborers. Marriage was not created as something where it was, oh, you go do that and you go do this. Marriage was created as co-laborers, enablers, helpers. You take a look at the picture of God in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. We literally have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three of them create the world. The Father doesn't go off and do it without the Son and the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't go off and do it without the Father and the Son. The Son doesn't go, you get the idea. Everything they do together. It is the picture of co-laborers. It is the picture of faithfulness. That's the picture that God created in marriage. That's the reason he's so passionate about it. Here, the reason God loves marriage is because marriage is a picture of him. It's a picture of him. It's a picture of his character. It's a picture of his attributes. It's a picture of what his plans are for us. And I want to show you the last thing this morning. Not only is marriage a memorial to his creation, it's a memorial to his character, but it's also a memorial to and for his children. Take a look there. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. He seeks godly offspring. Let me explain. God created marriage so that the children that were raised up in marriage, a marriage that is in him, in Christ, that they would see his picture and that they would know and want him. Do you follow what I'm saying? The reason God has created this picture is so that the next generation, the children, can see selflessness. They can see self-sacrifice. They can see loving kindness so that they could see faithfulness, so that they could see created as co-laborers. And in seeing that picture, they would know him and love him and follow him. That's the reason why he created marriage the way he did, as a memorial. Remember, a memorial is that which is set aside to be able to remind of a person or an event. That's the reason God created marriage. That's the reason why he takes it very seriously. You know, when we today would go and say, well, we can redefine it. Here's the thing. God created it one way. It only works one way in his created order. Anytime you take anything that God created and you abuse it or turn it upside down, guess what? It hurts and it harms us. It hurts and it harms us. It breaks us. But here's the reality. The reality is, guess what? We are broken. We are broken. And there are no perfect marriages. Ever since Genesis chapter 3, there are no perfect marriages. Ever since Genesis chapter 3, where we sinned against God, there is that sin and selfishness in our hearts. And it's no longer like it says over in Ephesians chapter 5, where we're to submit ourselves unto the Lord and submit ourselves one to each other. That picture of oneness. But it's about self so often. And there's a lot of brokenness and a lot of hurt. In fact, there may be many this morning say, listen, you know, that's a great picture of marriage. It's really great that God, you know, created this great memorial, but that just isn't my experience. That isn't my experience at marriage. That isn't what I have known from my husband. That isn't what I have known from my wife. So what do you do? Well, first of all, let me share with you, there is one who is faithful. And he is the Lord God. And even no matter how broken we have made marriage, it's sort of like, you know, this. The amazing thing is when we talk about Memorial Day, you know, I can tell you historically what it was created for, but practically on a daily basis, how many people actually go into Memorial Day weekend with the kind of reverence and the kind of understanding of what it's really about? It's about people who gave their lives. It's about that reverence and that recognition of those who've gone on before. Same thing is true with marriage. The memorial was created. The memorial exists. But so often we don't really recognize the memorial. So how do we get back to that point in our lives, no matter what, where we are, what we have faced, what level of brokenness we're in, what level of brokenness we see around us? It's about Jesus. Because, see, there is one who is fully one, and that is Jesus. There is one who is faithful. According to the scripture, there is one who sticks closer than a brother. There is one who will never leave you or forsake you. There is one that is totally selfless, totally self-sacrificing. And this one thinks that you are worth it. You know, in fact, so many times because of the brokenness in this world, you know, this memorial has been set up in marriage to go in and memorialize one who actually thinks that you are worth it, that you are a workmanship that is worth love. But so often in this world, we are left in circumstances and situations where we feel in the brokenness of where we are, we feel worthless. And we have been abused, and we have been broken, and we have been, you know, uncared for. But guess what? There is one who is not broken. There is one who thinks and knows that you are worth it. There is one that every day, every minute of every day, is pursuing you. His heart is desirous for you. He loves you so much so that he gave up everything and moved out of his throne and came and he gave everything for you. And he is faithful and he is calling. And he says, I don't care what you have faced. I don't care where you are. You can come to me. And that picture that I have painted in marriage, that picture that I have presented, I am the one you can come to if you would but trust in me. In the midst of our brokenness, the picture and the memorial of marriage calls us back to the lover of our hearts. The scripture is the greatest love story ever told. In Genesis chapter 2, God presents the picture of the bride, and he brings the bride alongside mankind. In Revelation chapter 21, the last passages in the scripture, says the Spirit and the bride say, come. The picture of marriage goes all the way from Genesis to Revelation, and it's a picture of love. Not only for those in brokenness, for those that have seen all the worst of this marring of marriage. Let me share with you, for those that are in marriage, you can present a picture. You can present a picture of marriage as you surrender to the Lord. The picture that God has created for marriage is impossible to fulfill unless you first and foremost surrender yourself to the Lord and then surrender yourself to each other selflessly. Give yourself away to him and make him number one in your life. It makes a big difference because guess what? No matter how much you tell your children about Jesus, no matter how much you go in and want to present them, guess what? They will actually get more from what they watch than what you say. Present that picture of Jesus. Present that picture of marriage by surrendering to him, trusting in him. You can't do it, but he can. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Precious Lord, Lord, I love you and I thank you so very much. Lord, we are such a broken people. Lord, every time you create something perfect, every time you create some beautiful picture, we mess it up. We turn it upside down. We abuse it and we twist it. And all of our sinfulness. But Lord God, you make all things new. Lord God, we know that as we surrender to you, as we trust in you, you create in us a new creation. That as we surrender to you, as we are one with you, as we walk with you, others can see you in us and be drawn to you. Lord, I pray with all my heart, Lord God, that as others see us, as they see us surrender to you, as they see us live in a love relationship with you, passionately abiding with you, passionately cleaving to you as the one who made us, Lord, I pray that others would see you in us, that others would come to know you. Lord, I pray this morning, only you can do this in my life, in our life. Only you can do this. Only you. Lord, make us a blessing. Make us a memorial to you, that you would be glorified. In thy name we pray. Amen.